B-Pod Studios.
Fred, hello.
Hey, guys.
Hello.
Hey.
What's going on? Are we on fire?
Tomatoes.
Mike Francesa appears to rip fought while ripping Adam Gase.
I love meatballs.
Do you?
Let's go Red Sox.
Hit me like a bomb, bomb, bomb.
Go Red Sox.
Hit me like a bomb, bomb, bomb.
Wall Dick, where you at?
She made out with my dad.
Hello. Welcome to the show.
Everybody, I'm Mike Gorman along with Tom Heinsohn. Welcome back to our coverage of Boston Celtic basketball.
Tonight, Gorman was inducted into the Radio Hall of Fame.
Come on, come on. I see no changes. Wake up in the morning and I ask myself, touch or enrich, should I blast myself? Same old jokes, even worse than Fred. Man, don't know dick, makes me wish I was dead. Wallach and Rich trying hard to be funny. Can't believe those two getting money. Suck enough to guess who the hell cares. Just shoot me now, throw me down the stairs. Sitting at the mic trying to sound real big. How'd these boys ever land this gig? Every day it's the same old baloney. Judge must have been on something to give him a Marconi. Just gets worse as the day goes on. Felger and Mass, brain-numbing egothon. Gotta start making changes. Would you rather Zoe and Beetle or two distant strangers? Come on, Tommy Heinsohn, what you think of this?
Are you kidding? That's ridiculous.
You gotta take it from T, a brother close to me.
Puckhead.
That's just the way it is.
That's just the way it is.
Come on, come on.
That's how it's supposed to be.
Yeah, yeah, tell him, T, tell him.
That's just the way it is.
Don't hold back, T, give it your all.
Are you kidding me?
Mike G and the T, out.
Take that, 98 Mile.
Bob Sports Hub. It's Sutcher and Rich. It is 6:04. That is my favorite 98 Mile, I think. That one didn't win. I understand why. I thought the winner was deservedly so. Anytime you get Mike Felger's wife, Sarah Underwood, to come in and just crap all over Felger,
the deck,
people love
the deck
that.
Was stacked.
I thought that was pretty fantastic. That was also in a very stacked field of, you know, Andrew Frades and Pete Frades together. That was a fantastic one. The line
Brandon Merriweather.
Merriweather's was great. I mean, we play that one all the time. That was, but that one in particular with Mike Gorman, the reason that I thought that one was so great was that he came into the studio and, you know, he recorded his thing and he had written it. And then at the end of it, he goes, hey, mind if we call Tommy real quick? And I went, what? And he goes, yeah, Tommy. I'm like, Tommy Heinsohn? And he goes, yeah. I want him to get in on this. And I go, okay. And so we call up on the phone and, you know, we've played the audio before. In the background, Tommy's watching some like Western from like the 1950s or something like that.
He's
in the background.
Watching a talkie.
Yeah, it's like Gunsmoke or something like that. It's on the background.
Black and white.
Yeah. And he's like, hey, you mind like doing this rap with us? And Tommy's like, yeah, sure, whatever you want, kid. And so he starts recording this thing. And I'm just like, this is really surreal that Tommy would have anything to do with the stupid radio show that we do. And then it was done. But then Mike Gorman, instead, like most people would just leave and say that was it. Like, he wanted to stick around and see how it was all edited and how his voice was all made, and he wanted to listen to it and be, like, a part of the production process. I'm like, all right, well, that's kind of cool. And so he just hung out for, like, an hour and a half and, like, wanted to, like, help edit it. And I'm like,
cool, man. You fanboyed out.
Hell yeah, I did. Yeah, totally I did.
Both guys.
See, more than anything, I was just – I mean, the Tommy Heinsohn thing was super weird in a great way. But, I mean – you know, when Mike Gorman comes in, and first of all, when he's not wearing a suit, it's really weird because that's all you've ever seen him. And every time he's been a guest in studio, he just shows up like wearing like, you know, a Who Farted T-shirt and sweatpants.
It's a little jarring. Yes, I will admit.
It is odd. Yeah. But the reason I was thinking about that this morning was I had two people randomly come up to me yesterday and just say, I can't believe the story that Mike Gorman told yesterday.
Exactly. I did a game at Bryant last night. I had a couple people at Bryant come up to me and said, was that Gorman story real? I mean, it's amazing that he's lived a great, full life. He's done more in his life than a lot of people have. And he doesn't think that a lot of what he has done is unusual or spectacular. So all of the news he delivers about his life is delivered in some kind of offhanded way.
Sure.
Which is why I was kind of surprised he called in and volunteered this information yesterday.
Okay, so you know what we should do? We should actually replay that, just that story. It wasn't that long, like early on the show. So, Mason, if you wouldn't mind, maybe at the beginning of the 7 o'clock hour, we'll play this, because you have to understand the situation. So yesterday we were doing, I don't know how the discussion started, but it was basically people calling in saying that, you know, I was asked to do something utterly ridiculous at my job that, you know, I don't get paid enough for this blank. And on the regular request line, Mike Gorman called in. First of all, it says Mike Gorman. And I'm looking down like during the commercial break, and there's a name that says Mike Gorman on like line one. And I go and I speak into the room like, is Mike Gorman calling on line one? And Bird just nods his head. I'm like, why wouldn't you let me know that that's actually Mike Gorman on the line? And it's not just some random caller saying he's Mike Gorman. And Bird, to his credit, went and checked the phone number that he was calling from, and it matched the one that we call Mike Gorman on. And so we're like, all right, well, that's really him. And he ended up telling a story that was, as I said, I think everybody has like a 1, 2, and 3 story in the back of their head. Like something that's happened in their lives. Like if you just want to do a showstopper, everyone's got 1, 2, like numbers 1, 2, and 3 things that have happened in their lives that they could throw out there. Unless your life has been completely boring and has just sucked. Everyone's got like one insane thing that's happened to him. We've known Mike Gorman for a decade now.
Yep.
And I've never heard this story.
And you get the feeling there are at least 5 or 10 more of those locked away in his brain. And you're never really sure what's going to touch it off. As sure as we're sitting here, in the next year, he'll have like 2 more stories where he just like, oh, yeah, that happened to me.
Oh, sure.
Oh, my God, really?
Well, there was that Himmelsbach article that came out where, you know, you talked about the backstory of it. It was that he was going to follow around Mike Gorman and just kind of write an article about what his daily preparation is like when he does these games. And all of a sudden, you start learning about when Mike Gorman was in the military and the insane stuff.
It was just a random, and it happens when in conversation like that. It was just something random that touched it off, and Himmelsbach, to his credit, stopped and went, "Wait a minute,
wait, stop! What did you just tell me?"
After about 5 minutes, like, "All right, let's do this. Let's not worry about the game tonight. Let's talk about this."
And it's one of those things where, like, every once in a while, even on the air, he'll say something, and you're like, why have we never heard this story? He's like the most, you know, he's the guy from the Dos Equis ad. He's the most interesting man in the world. And just yesterday was something that I had 2 different people coming up to me going, I can't believe that. And it made me think of a phoner that we could do. I mean, I don't know if anyone's going to be able to have a story similar to Mike. But then again, the way he made it sound like it was just completely normal made me think that, okay, well, maybe around this area, around that era.
This is where Joe Murray comes in.
This is where Joe Murray comes in. Right.
I'm sure Murray has a story.
Listen,
or 2.
I saw a ton of stuff in the Charles River growing up. Like, now they say it's clean, but I'm not going in there.
No.
Carson Beach in Southie, people swim there. I am out. I am not going in that beach.
Well, I mean, it's, you know, I see people taking like gondola rides and stuff in the Charles.
Oh.
And I'm just like, I am out on that. Nope. And I remember my wife was like, yeah, you know, it seems like funny. Why would anyone want to go in there when they find, like, body parts there?
Something motorized that you can get by the body parts quickly. Like, duck boat ride, fine. In the Charles, no problem.
Even the duck boat rides kind of freak me out because, you know, I don't want anything splashing on me. But, I mean, you find, like, they might every 6 months find a body part in the Charles.
Yeah.
And the Charles is probably like the most like blatant one. So just think about like where Gorman was and areas that are a little further away.
He grew up in Dorchester, which is right next to Southie and the Quincy Quarries. So who knows what people were dropping in those areas back in the 70s. I'm sure we've watched enough movies to find out, right?
Yeah, you know what though? But I always thought, and this is my naivete shining through, I always thought, well, if it made it to a movie, then this must have been something like extra special, like something that didn't happen often. Not talking to Mike Gorman.
No.
Oh, no.
And then 70s and, around here or the Wild West.
And then the mysterious people just say, don't say a word, kid.
Yep.
Exactly. And you didn't even need to be told what would happen if you did. You just knew you didn't, just by the person coming up to you and talking to you that way. And Mike knew that. Mike was smart. And I wonder how many years it took for him to keep his mouth shut until he felt comfortable telling that story.
Probably yesterday.
He figured,
all right, after 40 years, I can finally say something.
There is a comfortability that he has with the show. He's sworn on the air before, which I thought was kind of funny. Just randomly Mike Gorman swearing on the air. That was pretty great when he was in studio. Hell, Peter Gammon swore on our show one time, which was really strange.
Mm-hmm.
You guys get the legends on this show, though.
Well, I mean, with
Peter Gammon's
with mixed results, Joe. They aren't all Marconi Award-winning segments.
Did you ever hear Peter Gammon's call into our show?
Like, you couldn't really understand. He sounded like he was like in an aquarium or something.
Yeah, it was like he was in a submarine. There was always these mysterious noises in the background. Like,
you know, I don't think there's anything in terms of nerves or off schedule that applies to anyone.
Or it was like a ghost haunting his house or something like that. Or it was like or a construction site. You know? Yeah, and then he would be like this. It'd be like,
they're the two best baseball towns in America. Yeah,
okay, he would talk about that, and then all of a sudden it would go to something very strange, like this one, which was
the great moments that I can remember in all these years covering it, that people cared so much about the other team.
Dive.
That's a Hunt for Red October situation.
And, upset about calls or situations. When David Ross behind the plate, he's so much more focused.
Bring out the gimp.
There was one where it sounded like he was being whipped.
No. I thought we always believed he was whipping somebody else.
Hang on, let me see. Yeah. That's not it. Hang on, what is this? Let's see here.
You know, I don't think there's anything in terms of nerves or off schedule that applies to anyone at this. They're the two best baseball towns in America. They're great.
Okay, I mean, they're all weird.
Yeah.
Yeah, there were some weird whipping sounds one time, and I don't know who he was whipping. I guess it would be like, you know, one of the Young Buck sports writers, possibly, from back in the day. But Gammons is a must-follow on Twitter if you like ampersand signs.
Who is the toughest guy? Like, Shirelli was tough, right?
Shirelli was so painfully nervous every time he came on our show.
Mm. You say that, and I disagree. I don't think he was painfully nervous. I just think he was naturally socially awkward. And that included face-to-face meetings. Fred has that very famous story of him riding up in the media elevator at TD Garden with him. And, you know, Peter Shirelli looked at the floor, even though he had talked to Fred dozens of times. But the other part of even just talking on the phone about something other than, you know, hockey or other than, as we do, we try and branch out and get these guys to be more human. And Shirelli didn't want anything to do with that. And it made for some very awkward radio. I think socially, he was extremely awkward and painfully shy.
Yeah.
And I think that had more to do with it.
You saw that in his press conferences, too. I mean, the thing about, okay, so, like, if you're asking which weekly guest did we dread the most, because there'd be some that we'd say, okay, well, this is a newsmaker, so this is somebody we'll take. Because usually we'll pass by a big name for somebody who is, like, a great on the air. Matter of fact,
Brian Scalabrine.
Perfect example. Like when the station first launched, you know, the big three were still around, and, you know, people like Paul Pierce and Kevin Garnett, they wanted big money to come on the radio. And my whole thing was like, dude, people love Brian Scalabrine. Let's give him a shot. Maybe he's got a personality. And sure enough, he came on the show. And, you know, everyone, of course, now knows Scal. But you understand, his first foray into media, the first time that was our show. And he instantly became likable. The guy knew a ton about basketball. He spoke in, like, a normal language that people could get. He had great stories.
He called us after Game 7 of 2010. When they lost in L.A. to the Lakers, he was up drinking all night on the Sunset Strip and called in at 3 a.m. Pacific time.
To apologize to Celtic fans.
Now, we realized we had a lot of fun while he was on with us, but we didn't realize how special he was until we went the same route a couple of years later and said, let's get another bench guy and see if he shines, and we wound up with Greg Steemsman. That did not work.
The steamer
did not work at all.
Well, listen, he was the next Bill Russell, according to Tommy Heinsohn. No, I mean, I would say, you know what, I'll have to think about that. Like, who was the weekly guest that we dreaded the most?
Shirelli's up there. He's top three.
He's got to be. If he's not number, I mean, he's not top three, he might be number one.
Yeah.
All right, I'll have to think about that. 617-779, because usually they didn't last long. Because our old thing was, like, I don't care what kind of newsmaker they are. I'm not going to subject people to a crappy 10 minutes a week or whatever it is. But he was definitely up there. 617-779-0985. Let's get to all the stuff that happened yesterday, including, it's just so phenomenal how many people have it out for the Houston Astros. All the players are pissed that they didn't get punished, and they're all speaking out, and it's going to be broken ribs this season, all season long, and now the league has had to come out and make a statement about it. We will get to that right after this.
Stay tuned for more Toucher and Rich on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Hey, listen up.
Recapping what you missed. It's Toucher and Rich.
Five of Sports Hub. It is Toucher and Rich, and the baseball world continues to implode around itself, and it's just glorious. Just days after Commissioner Rob Manfred called his own sports championship trophy, quote, just a piece of metal, players all around the league are ganging up not only on the Houston Astros, but the league's decision not to punish any of the players involved, and this is where it gets fun. Let's start with Aaron Judge, who lost the MVP. It was second place in voting to Jose Altuve back in 2017. You think that Aaron Judge is a little pissed about this entire situation?
I think the Astros should be stripped of their 2017 championship.
I just don't think it holds any value. You cheated and you didn't earn it. You know, that's how I feel, is it wasn't earned. You know, it wasn't earned the way of, you know, playing the game right and fighting till the end and knowing that, you know, we're competing. We're competitors. And the biggest thing about competition is laying it all out on the line, and you know, whoever's the better player, better person, you know, comes out on top. You know, and you know, you just lay it out there, and you know, to know that another team had an advantage that, you know, nothing you can really guard against, that I just don't feel like that's earned, or, you know, yeah, it's not earned.
You know what I love about this is that the people with the reputations of being like the nicest in the sport are all talking crap on the Astros. They're all calling him out.
It's not just that, though, Rich. It's the visibility of the players that are speaking out.
Yep.
Mike Trout, Aaron Judge, John Lester, who's a World Series hero and is one of the better pitchers.
You just named three of the nicest people in baseball.
But, I mean, it's they are very nice, but it's the visibility aspect. It's kind of like the players speaking out when the guy he replaced, the racist guy.
Sterling, Donald Sterling.
You had an avalanche of great NBA players come out against Donald Sterling. This is kind of, I'm not comparing racism to this.
No, I know what you're saying. It's
kind of like that. This is unprecedented in Major League Baseball. Great players speaking out against the commissioner of their sport.
And it just goes to show just how much they botched this entire immunity thing for the players to have no punishment whatsoever, when even in the report they said it was a player-driven scheme. So this is so fantastic, because on top of that, one of my favorite forms of passive aggression nowadays is slights on social media. For instance, when Altuve won the MVP two seasons ago, Aaron Judge sent out a tweet congratulating him. Super sleuths, they did a little digging and found out that, that tweet has now been deleted. Judge yesterday was asked, hey, why'd you do that?
When the Manfred's report came out, you deleted a tweet that congratulating Altuve back in 17. Is that accurate? Did you delete that?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And for the obvious reasons that we're talking about here?
Yeah, I think I took it down like right when I think the story broke out, right when I think Mike Fiers came out and talked with Athletic and stated that, now this is what was going on in 17, you know, and once I heard that, you know, I just sick to my stomach, you know, just to find out, you know, had a lot of respect, you know, for those guys and, you know, what they did, and, you know, especially, you know, what they did for the city of Houston and that whole organization, man, a team that was in last place and drafted right, got the right players in there and, you know, eventually, you know, got to the World Series, you know, I had a lot of respect for them, you know, the way they played, what they did, and then to find out that, you know, it wasn't earned, they cheated, you know, that didn't sit well with me, and I just didn't feel like the post that I did really, you know, meant the same anymore.
I have deleted my congratulatory tweet to you, good sir. Take that. Slap, slap, slap. And then there's some dudes that take their hatred of the Astros to the next level, and I love this. Nick Markakis of the Atlanta Braves. He was asked about what should happen to the Astros players this season, and Markakis gave us this.
It angers you, especially from a guy who has played the game the right way his whole career. No shortcuts. I know how hard this game is. I know how hard preparing for this game is, and to see something like that, it's damaging to baseball. You know, it's anger. I feel like every single guy over there needs a beating. you know, it's wrong. They're messing with people's careers.
A beating? Yowza! But just get ready. It's funny, yesterday, Joe, what did we talk about? The over-under that Vegas has of Astro players who are going to be hit by pitch this season. And I believe, Joe, you said it was around 83, and I get the right number right this time.
83.5. I'm going to look it up right now and see if it's moved.
83.5. Last season, the Astros were hit 66 times, so a ton of people were like, yeah, that could happen. But to my point, I know that Dusty Baker and the league, they're going to bitch so much preemptively that they're going to end up being harsh, like, super harsh penalties for people aiming for the ribs of Astros players. Because if the commissioner doesn't look bad enough, imagine every morning on SportsCenter, they're just being highlight after highlight after highlight of guys getting drilled. Hey, yeah, right. Dan was saying in the corner is going to be like a hit count, a hit by pitch count that just goes up. But imagine that every morning, the commissioner turns on the TV, and it's just one dude getting hit in the ribs after the next, after the next.
So you're not going to punish the players that were guilty, but you are going to punish the guys who retaliate.
Oh, that's the way it's going to work.
Oh my god,
dude, they've completely botched this entire thing. And to that point, John Heyman tweeted this yesterday. He said, Major League Baseball recently sent a memo to teams laying out new steps to curb intentional hit by pitches. Umps will now confer to determine if they deem intent. Managers will be held more accountable for these incidents too. Rule unrelated to Astros new concern, but this should be a welcome change. Sure. Totally unrelated to anything that's going on with the Astros right now. Just, yeah, it has nothing to do with that. We just thought we'd throw that out there randomly.
New odds are out there.
Okay.
It's 83.5, but Bet Online, over under amount of players that will charge the mound from the Astros.
Now we're talking.
1.5.
Ooh, 1.5. Ooh, I would take the over on that one. See, that one to me seems more realistic. The hit-by-pitch one is going to get, it's, you know, they're going to stop it quick. Like, there's going to be some very, like suspensions. Like, if you get hit, I guarantee you it's going to be a suspension. Now, the first week, there's going to be a couple that get out there, and they're going to let those slide. But after that, they're going to make sure this doesn't become an every-game situation, which I know all these players wanted to be. I know that every pitcher wants to be the guy that beans Jose Altuve in the ribs.
So there's who will be most hit by pitch.
Oh, Jose Altuve. There's no question.
Bregman is the favorite.
You think nah, Bregman?
Oh, yeah, Bregman.
Springer second, Altuve 3-1 odds, and Correa 7-2.
Bregman's the most annoying out of all of them.
He's annoying, but isn't Altuve kind of the face of it? Like, he's kind of been the face of it.
I think the bat flipper, though, pisses people off.
Yeah.
Sure.
I
sure.
would agree.
Yeah, I mean, there is that part of it. There is that element. I just think that, you know, because Altuve seemed to benefit the most. Like, he got the MVP.
The tattoo. The
right. There's all that stuff. I mean, to me, it almost seemed like he'd be the guy. But, yeah, Bregman's that's a good choice. And it looks like the Red Sox might not be in the clear either. Reports came out yesterday that investigators came back around and asked several players to be re-interviewed, which obviously means they found something, or they would have just let this go. So now you've got these Red Sox players being questioned once again, and we're also hearing that instead of the investigation wrapping up this week, the expectation is now next week.
Yeah.
So
yeah, on Monday, I guess they came up with new information and that they need to interview people again. This was like over the weekend.
I love this. I want everything to come out in the light. I want the flashlight to go behind the oven and to see the rat scurry all over the place.
What's funny about it is guys like Jackie Bradley Jr., J.D. Martinez were like, oh, we didn't do anything.
Obvious Jackie Bradley Jr. Didn't do anything.
While Chris Sale was like, whatever happens,
Chris Sale's like pissed. Like, he's like, I don't care. Like, and he was obviously pissed about that first inning of the the ALCS when he got rocked.
Three home runs, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So, I mean, the pitchers are sitting back and laughing about all this.
But what I mean, though, is that the Red Sox, some of the guys said they did nothing while Sale is sitting there being like, all right, like, so let's just, maybe that's why they're re-interviewing people for the new information.
See, that's why I mentioned that to Dan Roach yesterday. I'm like sitting there going, all right, to me it sounded like Chris Sale wasn't as confident as all the other players that they weren't going to find anything. And Dan's like, no, I didn't get that read at all. Oh, yeah, I got that read. I think he knows what's going on. And that's going to be fun. And hopefully John Henry gets to speak again after all that happens. And Tom Werner, which of course will be something I'm looking forward to. All right, 617-779-0985. We'll get to more information. And speaking of that, the Sox are in the middle of trying to make a trade that really seems counteractive to what they wanted to do before, but we'll get to that. Also, some Tom Brady news. Antonio Brown talks about speaking to Tom Brady recently and what he had to say. We'll get to that right after Joe Murray's headlines.
Toucher and Rich. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Nine eight five, a Sports Hub. It is Toucher and Rich. By the way, you're into this stuff too. So, in a summer of, there's really like a ton of great concerts coming this summer, a ton, to the point where. Like, there's certain weeks where there's three concerts I'll be going to in 1 week, like back-to-back days. I mean, this summer is stacked, but in a summer of stacked concerts, they may have announced the best one yesterday. Did you see that Faith No More is coming with Helmet?
No way, really?
Yeah.
You were talking about Faith No More last week?
I was, because there was this one-off show that they were going to be doing in Los Angeles where it was System of a Down reunion, Faith No More, and Helmet was going to open the whole thing. And there was part of me that was like, when is that going to be? I might have to travel to that. And then I'm like, all right, we'll sit back because maybe this is something they're going to go on tour with. Well, they are indeed touring, but the System of a Down part is not. Instead, like the Darren, the guitarist, he's doing his own thing with them. But that tour is coming to Boston, but unfortunately it's Korn that's going to be the headliner, which I couldn't care less. I think Korn's super cheesy. However, Faith No More and Helmet together, that's a concert of the summer. I can't wait to go to that.
I think I have Green Day, that whole Green Day Weezer thing going, Guns N' Roses. I'm going to Aerosmith. Somehow I got dragged into that. If you've never seen Aerosmith,
you got to see Aerosmith. I mean, yeah. If you've never seen them.
They were great. I saw them at Fenway Park.
You got to see them because they're not going to do this much longer.
These are all at Fenway, by the way, all these shows that I'm going to.
Well, there's the Motley Crue one, which is coming as well. There's the Deftones, which is coming to Agganis Arena. Oh, there's a couple shows that are coming to the Rockland Bank one. There's a few. I mean, there's a ton that I've got written down. But Faith No More and Helmet, that's Rich's concert of the summer. You hit a happy spot in Rich Shirtlieb right there. I mean, Helmet's like my favorite band. And then, you know, I would say Faith No More reuniting. And no matter what you think about that band, they're always interesting. And they put on a great show. So there you go. That should be a good time. The dude from Faith No More play drums for Korn and Faith No More during that show? Because doesn't he play for Korn as well? All right. Well, now I'm getting nerdy. All right. So let's take Dan on line 2. Dan, what's up, man? You're on Toucher and Rich.
Hey, guys. Morning.
Hey.
A couple things, actually. It's funny. I think the only time I'll be in Fenway this summer is to actually see concerts. So.
However, hang on, Dan. The one thing, though, is tell me this. If they get busted for cheating, like if it comes out that they were doing it as well, all of a sudden the Red Sox become must-watch television, don't they? Because don't you want to see how other teams retaliate against the Red Sox
different.
As well?
No, that's different than paying $40 for a bleacher seat.
No, I understand
it's
that.
Much different.
But you will tune in, especially if you find out they did it during the year they won the World Series. Because then you have the exact same situation with the Astros where you didn't earn it. But if they find out that the Red Sox cheated during their World Series winning year, all of a sudden, they go from being a team that's mediocre, that's no one getting excited about, to being, oh, my God, I have to see how these teams retaliate.
Yeah, I don't think we want another cheating scandal in Boston, am I right?
There has been quite a few, yes.
What I was calling to say was, I think we got to flip this whole thing on its head and make Manfred make a decision. I think what should happen with the first Astro game, and maybe all of them, is that the opposing team should just show up and just stand there, right? And then ultimately the games get called, and now Manfred's got to do something because you got a team that's cheating that has a perfect season that's there, you know. So I think that'll be interesting to see if that takes shape.
Dan, I've heard that theory before too. But here's the thing: is that these other teams they don't want to, like, they have too much pride. They want to now that they've called out the Astros, they want to prove to the world that they do things the right way. You know, now they're almost kind of on the soapbox of being righteous and, you know, that we're for pure baseball. And so they can't do something like that. However, I do see there being vigilante justice and a decent amount of it. And if it's not just beating guys, we talked about sliding cleats up. I mean, there's a lot of different ways that you can get back at these guys and, you know, push the limits. Hell, there's straight up fights You might see a decent amount of fights this year because of this.
Well, here's the question, and Dan O'Brien, give him credit, brought it up yesterday. Do you get all of this out of your system during spring training if you play the Astros? Like the Red Sox play the Astros next week.
No. No, you do it in front of a huge crowd because, you, first of all, you know that your crowd wants it. Because think about any time the Astros come to, like, let's say the Astros were at Fenway, and I know that happens in, like, around Memorial Day weekend, right?
Yeah.
That crowd is going to be the loudest that Fenway will be all summer long, or all season long during the regular season, booing the Houston Astros. Everyone's going to go crazy. It's like the, you know, when the NWO showed up at WWE, like, everyone
goes
crazy.
It's going to be like Gladiator, Rich. Are you not entertained?
Yes, it is.
Someone's going to stand out there on the mound and put their hands up and
release the lions.
Yes.
And you know that is going to affect the pitchers.
Who will do that, though?
What's that?
Like, we need a personality that can do that.
Oh, Chris Sale. Chris Sale will do it in a heartbeat.
Sale's
pissed. Did you hear him?
If he's healthy, he'll do it.
Yeah, right.
If he's still pitching in May, he's the guy.
You know who will do it? Anyone who's on the mound. Because no one will have a problem with it. All of baseball outside of the Astros will embrace whoever it is on the mound, no matter what team it is.
This could bring out the next, like, face of baseball or star, someone to get behind, because I think that's the issue right now. You guys mentioned earlier, like, the big names, the Trouts and Judges of the world. There's no real personality. Like, Papelbon was that guy for a while.
Sure, it was a douchey personality, but you're right.
But it was there. I don't think there is a guy like that in baseball. You know, who's the guy who got all the money last year from the Phillies? Played on the Nationals.
Oh, Harper. Bryce Harper.
I kind of like him.
See, I used to hate him, and now I'm kind of got a little bit of a 180 on him.
But that's what I mean. Baseball needs that guy.
Well, think about this, Joe. This situation has made Mike Trout actually have to state an opinion on something.
Yeah.
And Mike Trout's like the quietest guy. Like, I mean, you know, he's even talked about how he doesn't want to be the face of, you know, any kind of product. He just wants to quietly play his game. And I'm like, dude, they want to give you zillions of dollars and you're refusing it. I don't get it.
Well, at the same time, though, like, I kind of like John Lester's comments. Like, when Manfred called the trophy, like, you know, just a hunk of metal. Like,
yeah.
Okay, let's all fight for this thing all year long. And you know, this thing with your name on it, by the way.
Yeah, it's called the Commissioner's Trophy. I love that. That's just a piece of crap. Oh, that is. But you're right. You're right. I mean, it will. It's bringing out the. It's the best thing that's happened to baseball in a long time.
I agree.
Think about it. I'm totally into this. I'm here for all of the violence. I'm here for all these people talking trash on each other. Baseball for years has been way too boring. There's been no personality. You named it. And now what are we seeing? We're seeing guys like Markakis saying everyone on the team needs to get beaten up. And then you've got
this is the guy who's in the All-Star game last
year. Dude, it's great. It's and I hope that there's more of it. And I hope they expose all of it. First of all, for the game itself. Second of all, it exposes Manfred as being way over his head.
Oh, he sucks.
Yeah, obviously he does. He had no idea how to handle this. So I welcome it. I welcome it. And listen, if the Red Sox didn't do anything, then they obviously shouldn't be punished and there shouldn't be anything. But if they do and they ended up finding something, especially during their World Series year, all of a sudden the Red Sox become must-watch baseball.
And that is
the unfortunate other side of it.
Yeah.
But as Dan said, are you not entertained? And then all of a sudden it becomes Gladiator games, which, say what you will, baseball's needed a little bit of that for a long time.
If Rob Manfred is not fired, but is kicked out of his job sooner rather than later, who replaces him?
Oh, Larry Lucchino.
Isn't he on
the short list?
No. You remember who the owners voted as the runner-up to Rob Manfred.
Oh, that's right.
Who is the man? He was the runner-up in
that's
the balloting
right. It was
for
Warner.
The commissioner of Major League Baseball. Tom Werner
I got the
would
two
be
flip.
Next in line.
That would be the best. Please put him there. Oh, that would be fantastic. It's the best. I'm telling you, it's the best thing that's happened to baseball in a long, long time. Because you know what? For the first time in a while, I care.
Mm-hmm.
I do. I want to watch these games.
Start the 27th this Saturday, I believe.
All right. 617-779-0985. We'll get to some of this Brady news right after this. Five of Sports Hub, it is Toucher and Rich. Let's go to Cameron on line one. Cameron, what's up?
Hey, what's going on, fellas?
Hey.
Just curious,
to know what your opinion is on this. Since Manfred didn't punish the players at all individually, and if it comes out that the Red Sox are cheating, do you think he's going to punish those players?
I don't think he can.
Can't.
Yeah,
can't.
I mean, I think that the precedent has been set. And by the way, I kind of hope he does, because now I really want the league to implode. Because if that happens, and for some reason the Astros are able to skate and a couple Red Sox players weren't, then it's just a cluster F. Like, I mean, it's already as bad as it gets, but it would be even worse. And then you would have, obviously, even more ill will towards the Astros. Now, I did read something yesterday that but it was speculated that Dave Dombrowski's in the clear in all of this. Like, that was, I think it might have been John Heyman who put that in.
But that doesn't matter.
Well, yeah, because he's not really doing anything.
He's not coming back. He's got his two World Series championships. He got me even go to the Hall of Fame.
I don't know.
He doesn't care.
Let's go to Sebastian, line three. Sebastian, what's up, man?
Hey, morning, guys.
Hey,
listen, you see that video of the guy who showed up at the Astros spring training with a barrel behind home plate?
Yeah, yes. Knocking the trash can.
During batting practice, yes, I saw that.
That's great.
It's absolutely fantastic. So going off of that, if Manfred's not going to do anything, every team, instead of like free bat night or bobblehead, if they still do that, every team should have a free mini barrel night. And every guy who walks through that, first 1,000 people, 2,000, 10,000, and they just bang the crap out of these barrels every time the Astros are up for the whole season. It's obnoxious and stupid, but that's why it's fantastic.
It's going to happen. I mean, Stuff like that's going to happen, and that's why I'm excited about this season. Like, I can't wait to watch these Astro games, because it's not just obviously the players, it's how the fans are going to respond and what the environment's going to be every time they're there. Man, it would suck to be a player on the Astros who had nothing to do with that right now. Just imagine, like, if you just got signed, or you're somebody who, you know, just got brought up from the, you know, from the farm, and you're sitting there and you're looking at just how hated you are. How hated. I can't think of a team in sports, really, that is going to be this hated by everyone.
Other than the Patriots, you mean?
Oh, this is way worse than the Patriots.
I don't know.
Are you kidding me? Every team wants to throw a ball in their ribs.
I know. But as far as hatred goes, the Patriots have been hated for so long, I think you've been kind of immune to it.
The Astros, well, that's another reason why it's not as bad. Well, is fresh.
I think the Patriots are respected. They're hated, but they're respected.
Sure.
Different. I agree.
The Astros, I don't know if anyone's respecting
them. No one respects them. And there's going to be shenanigans, and there's going to be rules being broken, and I am here for it. Let's go to Mark, line two. What's up, Mark?
Hey, steak and eggs, guys.
Hey, Mark.
I also think it's wrong that Manfred didn't suspend any players that are involved, whether it's the Astros, and if they find the Red Sox guilty of it, as far as the Red Sox as well, because that will prevent any retaliations from any teams if you got minor league guys playing in place of the pros, because they didn't do anything wrong.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, Mark, this is going to be interesting if the Red Sox are found any kind. Because here's the deal, is that what happened with the Astros? Who was punished? The GM and the manager. Team doesn't have a manager anymore. GM's gone. They got a whole new guy there in Renicky. So if they find out they cheated, you can't just say, well, you get no punishment. Mm-hmm. You know, you're going to take away draft picks? No one's going to be happy with that. That's not an appropriate punishment, especially if they won the World Series the year that they ended up getting accused of cheating. Like, what do you do? Because now the Red Sox have taken away the two things that they saw got retribution with the Astros. And on top of that, they're sitting there just, I mean, what do you do? What do you do to these guys? If you can't, because the draft picks isn't going to make anyone happy. A fine's not going to make anyone happy. You're going to have to punish the players somehow. But you can't. Oh, this is so glorious.
So I'm reading this now. You brought it up a little while ago. Whatever, if something happened to Rob Manfred. MLBPA, according to the Daily News, disputes Rob Manfred's claims of player non-cooperation in the Astros Steinsealing probe. So the MLB union is now going after some of the claims that Manfred made. So I thought that Manfred didn't go after the players because he was afraid of the union. And again, the NFL... Pro Football Talk yesterday came out with the fact that he could have gone after the players and the union, and he made a huge mistake not doing so. But now, because he didn't do it, the players' union's going after Manfred now. This is going to get ugly.
Yeah, it's going to be fun. It's going to be fun. As I said, it's got me looking forward to the season. All right, 617-779-0985. Yesterday, out of nowhere, we did not ask for it. It just came unexpectedly. On the regular request line, we got a call from Mike Gorman, and he told us a story that is, I had people talking to me about it yesterday. Mike Gorman is the most interesting man in America. I want to just play the quick phone call that he made, and then I have a question afterwards that you guys can help me with. So no commercials, just Joe Murray's headlines.